It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
From 8 to 18 was all about just trying to survive. And I came out of childhood just saying, like, I'll never do that. Like, whatever that was that happened, that will never be me. And then I began to just recreate it. And I think you have to understand what messages you're taking away from the past. Well, what has that taught me? I think for a long time, what I really was after was I was after affirmation instead of truth.
Dear young married couple, are you one of those people who just want to cast vision and go into the future and make plans about what's going to happen in your business and your life, but you neglect to look back, look at your past, look what's happened?
Yeah, and you've heard us talk about it. We talk about the past quite a bit on our podcast, but we want to emphasize to you today that the past really does affect us. And if we don't deal with it, then it's going to affect us even more in negative ways. So today we bring on to the podcast Jason Van Ruler. He is a licensed therapist and he began his career in 2011. Many of his clients are top CEOs, performers, and artists out of Nashville, and just about everyone in between, the incarcerated up to those top CEOs. He just has extensive experience as a clinician and as a speaker, and now as an author. He wrote the book, Get Past Your Past.
And so today, that's what we're going to talk about, how to do that, and really practical application. You're going to have some things to really apply. Yeah, get ready for a fun conversation.
Welcome, Jason Van Ruler, to the podcast. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Aw, well, today, the day we're recording this, is book launch day. But the day that this episode comes out, you will have had the book out for a few weeks already. And we are looking forward to talking today about getting past your past.
Yeah. Like, I love that title. And obviously, you know that there's a lot of people who need to get past their past or don't even realize that they have a past they need to get over.
Right.
So,
yeah, they just carry it around. And we all do that. I mean, to some extent, yeah. Right? We carry that thing that isn't really helpful, but we're not quite sure what to do with it.
So right. When did you realize that you were doing this?
I wish earlier. Let me be honest. I wish a lot earlier than I did. I think it was when I just kind of kept seeing like these patterns in my life that I had said I wouldn't have happening and wondering what that was about and seeing and realizing I was the common thread. It was like, oh, yeah, this was so much easier when I thought it was somebody else's fault.
Me
but
again.
It looks like I have something to do with this.
You mean taking responsibility?
Well, I did that very slowly. I didn't want to rush that process. So I just dipped a toe in the water. But yes, eventually I had to.
So back us up to your story. What went on in your past? You're pretty open about some of that history in your book.
Yeah. So I, in a lot of ways, I was born into a family that everything just looked the way it was supposed to. It was great. And there was a lot of stability. And so I really relished in that. And that was a safe space. And then at age 8, my parents divorced. And so that was sort of, who saw that coming? I didn't. Maybe they did. Maybe they'd say, we saw it coming. But 8-year-old me didn't. And so what happened after is my life really just kind of went down a different path. And so what happened is my parents didn't have a healthy divorce. It did not lead them to be better people. In fact, it led us to a lot of instability and volatility. And so really from 8 to 18 was all about just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. So I went from this magical sort of like, hey, you know, Jason, what do you want to get for the house? What toys do you want? How can we do it? To I wonder if we'll pay rent this month. And so it was just a very dramatic change. And so it really sent me reeling. And I came out of childhood just saying, like, I'll never do that. Like, whatever that was that happened, that will never be me. And then I began to just recreate it, you know, because that's what you do. You know, you're like, this will never happen again. And I'm building it. I'm building it for myself.
Do you see that happening a lot with people that you talk to and work with, of like the recreation of their past?
Yeah, I do. And it's not intentional. I mean, certainly the people would tell you, and I would have told you, you know, 18-year-old me would have thrown their graduation cap in the air and said, this is it. I'll never be here again. So I think we have like great intentions about that. But if we don't really understand how we got there or what it was about that we need to change, we are likely to recreate it because it's just what we know.
Yeah.
Wow.
That makes sense.
So how does that end up happening? Like, how did you see that happening in your life, and what steps did you take to shift that perspective, or what did you change to have that successful life going forward?
Yeah, there was a moment, I talk a little bit about it in the book, where I kind of caught this reflection of myself in the mirror. And not to say I never look in the mirror, but I don't think I ever looked in the mirror that way. And it was just this moment of sort of seeing that who I had said I'd become and who I was, those were two very different things. And that as much as I had dreamt of what it might look like, instead it looked a lot like where I came from. And so I think in that moment, you know, I'd love to say, well, I'm really smart, so I just realized it and changed that day. No. Wasn't like that at all. But in that moment, I think I started to kind of plant a seed of, if you want it to be different, maybe you have to do something different.
So what happened? What happened in your past that helped you see that in that light?
I think I just got to a place that I had never wanted to be. You know, I was just doing all the things. For me, stability is really important. And so when I caught myself in the mirror there, I'm drinking, I'm using drugs, I'm doing financial stuff where I'm not paying my bills. I'm worried my car is going to be repoed. I'm doing all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh, actually, I think that's my fault. Like, there was a time where I could blame this on somebody else. And that's always the worst. It's the worst feeling when you're like, whose fault can this be? And you're like, oh, it's mine. Because I'm the one in the mirror. Nobody else is there. It's me.
Yes.
And so that was probably the best, worst day of my life, is that moment.
But that realization is really hard to come to, that, oh my goodness, it is me. Why do people have such a hard time with that realization?
Because I think we don't know what to do with it. You know, I think we don't get there intentionally. And so when you recognize like, oh, maybe some of this is me, I think our next thought is, so what do I do about that? And there's a question mark there, and there's a question mark even about, who do I trust with this? How do I walk that out? What's that look like? Like, it's just not very well documented. It's like, we all know how to identify a problem. We're pretty good at that. But we don't always talk about how to actually deal with it.
Yeah. And boy, we aren't good with that question mark, are we?
No.
We really
included.
Aren't.
It's tough.
Yeah, because as soon as you acknowledge, okay, I'm the problem, and then you know that the next step is, what do I do about that? And you have no, that just looks like a crack in the ground that you're going to fall through.
Yeah.
Why would I admit that I'm the problem? It's easier to go play video games or go drinking or do something that just numbs you out.
Yeah, you can feel good, you know, so it's kind of like, with that realization comes some pain. And so do I want to feel good now, or do I want to try to build something better? And I think the build something better is a tough sell if you've had a history of it not actually working out. You know, so it's like, it's easy to say to people like, it'll all work out. And then you meet someone with a story who's like, it hasn't, you know, it just actually hasn't all worked out. And so I think in that moment, that's a tough sell to say like, well, just invest in yourself and it'll all work out. And they're like, but will it though? Because if you'd been where I've been, it hasn't.
Yeah.
That's so good. So in your book, obviously, it's talking about dealing with the stuff that you have, the past that's following you. Now, not trying to spoil the book because people need to go get it and work through it. And I love how practical and to the point you are. A lot of this stuff, I was like, yeah, this is right on. Maybe give some people some of those starting steps of like, what happens? What needs to happen in order to see the transformation that they want to see?
You have to start by at least admitting to the issue. You know, I think that is oftentimes the first and very difficult step is just to admit to yourself, hey, this is a problem. And if I want it to be different, I have to do something about it. Now, maybe someone put this problem on me or I did it to myself or we'll work through all that. But it's just kind of the willingness to say this is a problem and I'll do something about it. Mm-hmm. And then the step after that is to tell somebody about what's going on so that we don't have to do it alone.
That's good. And so if people go, well, who would I tell? They're listening, like, do I tell my best friend? Do I tell my mom? Do I tell my pastor? Like, who would you recommend?
That's a great question. Social media says we should tell everybody all the time. I think you should make an Instagram post and just see what shakes out. Well, that's the hard part, right? Because sometimes we look at this and we say, actually, Jason, relationships are the problem. So this whole idea of tell somebody, that's really, really hurt me before. And so that sounds equally as dangerous as where I'm at. And so sometimes we have to learn and talk about it in the book about how do we qualify the people we tell? How do we actually kind of identify like what that person might look like, especially if we've never had that before? Because to your point, we can't just tell anybody because not just anybody is going to help.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Was that a natural process for you to like recognize good help?
No. I'm pretty good at bad health.
Tell us about that.
Bad health.
Yeah.
Well, I think you know what you're surrounded by. And so I think for a long time, what I really was after was I was after affirmation instead of truth. And so I asked a lot of people who would tell me it's okay rather than tell me the truth. And so what I really needed to find, and this was hard for me, is to find people that would tell me the truth. Now, they did that in a loving way. But when I said, hey, I'm really struggling, one version of that response would be, hey, you'll be fine. Everyone's got problems. And the other version was, I love you. And you're right. You are really struggling. And this is not going to end well. And so we need to do something about that. And so I think for me, the shift was, am I seeking affirmation, validation, or am I seeking the truth? Because they're different.
Wow.
What you're pointing out through in both of your points of like, okay, actually noticing yourself, like what is the reality of things, which is getting to the truth. And then also the second part of like, okay, how do you vet someone? You need to see them truly. And you need to see inside yourself truly. Yeah. I mean, it goes back to what the Bible says. It says, you know, the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's radically simple. You know, I would love it to be more complex, and yet it's not. You have to tell the truth, and you start by doing it with yourself.
As I was looking through your book, you had a lot of writing assignments. I'm a huge fan of that, even though I don't like doing it myself. But every time I made myself, it's just been like eye-opening the things I learn about myself. Tell me your perspective around that. So say they're wanting to be vulnerable with someone and you have, you know, you give them an assignment. Like, why is writing so powerful? And then how would you help people to see the truth and see it well?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we all know what we think in different ways. So sometimes it's through writing. You know, we write out what we think. So I'll say just, you know, write whatever comes up without judgment or criticism. We'll actually sift through it later. For other people, it's talking. And so I'll actually tell clients, like, just record yourself talking through what's going on. And then what I want you to do is to circle back and listen to it. So if you journal or you record yourself or, you know, if you want to video yourself, I don't know if that'd be for me, but if you want to video yourself and come back, watch, listen, read that again, and then notice what's coming up. Do I sound like the person I want to be? Are there things that seem like they're themes in what I'm hearing? And are there action steps that I could actually take based on what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's fantastic. You talk about in your book, changing our relationship to the past so that it actually empowers us and it doesn't hold us back. How do we start that process of once we've admitted, you know, the responsibility piece and after we've connected with someone who's speaking truth into our lives, how do you start that process of changing your relationship to the past?
That's a great question. I think you have to understand what messages you're taking away from the past. So we first have to just kind of start with like, well, what has that taught me? Okay. And so I'll walk with people through some exercises about kind of like, what do I think about life? What do I think about love? What do I tell myself about relationships? What do I tell myself about this experience? Mm. And then we want to kind of sift through, is that accurate or helpful today?
Good. Yeah.
And so a prime example might be, you know, if you say like, I had a childhood and I felt abandoned, therefore everyone will abandon me. Mm. I might say like, yep, okay, I hear that. I get that that made sense to child you. Is that helpful? Does it make sense today? Well, Jason, probably the more accurate story or message is that some people will not consistently show up for you and some will, and you have to be careful about who you choose. And so it's just kind of reviewing that and doing a little bit sometimes of a reframe or more just even updating that story is what it takes to help us get to the next place.
Updating that story. Talk a little bit about that concept.
Yeah, because sometimes the story is just true in that context.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that makes sense there, but it doesn't make sense anywhere else. Mm. And so I think we have to be willing to see that it doesn't, we can't generalize that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've gone to places and visited friends in other countries and they have customs where they're like, this is just what we do here. I'm like, well, that's super weird and not what I do at my house. and yet it makes good sense why they do it.
Yep.
You know, they're like, well, we do this because, and there's like a really good reason because of where they live and how they live.
Yep.
But it doesn't make sense here. And so I think we do that same thing in our lives if we're not careful, is we generalize rules, messages, beliefs when they're different out of that context.
Yeah, that is true. I'm just comparing that to like a trip we recently took and some of the customs that they have, you know, in their homes and in their churches even.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Like the idea that you wear slippers to church and you
That's
preach.
That's a good idea, actually. I like that one. I'm
slippers.
In favor.
Yeah, I know. We came back and we're like, man, I wish we could be in slippers right
like,
now.
I dig this. It's so clean. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. But it was weird because, you know, you walk in the vestibule and there's tons of like shelving where you put your slippers.
Yeah.
You know, or your shoes. So,
and it makes sense in that context, but like that would be really weird if we wore slippers to church here, like,
yeah,
you know, or tried to speak in slippers.
Yeah. I mean, you could.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I would accept that from you, but but it's different here, right? And so I think when that happens, paired with when we're kids, some of this happens. And we, as kids, we don't actually have a lot of agency or control to change anything. Mm-hmm. And so if we're not careful, not only do we see, well, some people wear slippers, but then now we believe we have to wear slippers or else.
Uh-huh.
So we then take that and we project that onto ourselves as kids where we didn't have the ability to decide. And then we go, okay, now I can't even change this rule. It's just a rule for life.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I like the idea of updating the story too, because you might make new meaning one time when you're going through this healing process, but that doesn't mean you can't update the story again. Like you're going to go through iterations of it as you are on this journey of healing.
Yeah.
And getting past
And as
past.
I've grown, even in my own stuff, I see it differently today than I did a decade ago. You know, man, that sounds like an old person to say a decade ago, but a decade ago, it looked different. I had a different understanding. And so as we kind of whittle away at those experiences, it begins to mean something different because we're different.
Yes.
Right.
I think it's important for people to remember that we're all meaning-making individuals or beings. Mm-hmm. And so whether, you know, you could be living out of a five-year-old story if it's not updated. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of need the adult to come back and say, okay, yes, that did make everything unsafe. Is that true now?
Yeah.
So what is the process for that? Like setting the record straight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just kind of going through those experiences. So what we try to do is identify, you know, kind of the 3 to 5 most impactful experiences that we would identify in our past and why that was impactful. And then what we tell ourselves about that and how that plays out today. Because then we can start to kind of connect some threads and say, well, I actually see that belief showing up at work, or I see that here. And so is there a more helpful or objective or accurate version of what happened that could help us out today?
How did that happen for you? Like what threads did you see carry on?
I think for me, it was, you know, some of those core beliefs were like, don't ever get too invested. Because if you get too invested, you get hurt. Don't ever stay any place for too long, because if you do, you could get hurt. So a lot of mine were just kind of about pain avoidance. Don't ever trust anybody too much, because if you do, they'll hurt you. So, I mean, you're seeing the theme here. So then you start to look at your life, and me at, you know, 20 years old, bouncing from job to job, moving from place to place, moving from relationship to relationship. Well, I wonder why that is. Almost seems like I've got some beliefs about how the world works, and I'm just acting those out.
Yeah.
Man, I had a friend a while back, so sad, did my best to help him, but he knew he had this problem of like whenever things got difficult, he had to move and change his circumstance, because he's like, I'm really good when it's an emergency. When I like move to a new city and I have to figure everything out and meet new people and nothing is familiar, he's like, I thrive on that because I'm constantly in, I'm in figure it out mode or die, right? He's like, I'm really good at that. I'm really bad at living when I'm thriving, because, you know, like
when he's secure.
Yeah, when I'm secure and planted, he's like, I get this overwhelming. And sure enough, something really hard happened. And in that very secure time, family, friends, people around him, but he had to go, and he just disappeared. And it was like my
heart. And he ghosts everyone.
Yeah, it just hurt my heart because I love this man so much. And how like being a friend to someone like that, and maybe even seeing that in yourself, how would you help them or slow them down enough? Maybe before that tragedy, to help them start like getting a grip on this is the new reality. You don't have to run.
I think it's just asking, and I feel for you with a friend, because it's hard to watch that play out and to feel helpless in that. But I think it's just helping a person understand, like, if you don't like how it is, this is how it'll be if you keep doing it, right? So if you don't like it today, just know it's probably going to be the same in a year, 5 years, 10 years. Are you okay with it? The other thing about that I talk to people a lot about is I think some of us are starters and some are sustainers. Okay. Mm. And so starters are like your friend, right? They are fantastic at starting. They can go to the places, do the thing, get past the nerves, set up shop. Like they're so good at that.
Yep.
And then there are people who are so good at sustaining, right? Like they can just live in a space forever, even when they shouldn't, right? They're like, why set up camp here? I'm actually never going to move, even if I really should, because I'm a sustainer. Uh-huh. And so what I try to help people see is like, we're all wired more towards one than the other. And so the goal is to develop that other side. So I'm a starter. I need to work on sustaining. Your friend does too, right? There's other people I talk to where like, you're a sustainer. And like, that's super cool. You haven't changed in 20 years. but maybe you ought to. Like, maybe it's actually time.
That's really
good. Concept.
And you know, it's funny. It's almost like it's easier to see how the starters are deficient.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, oh yeah, the new guy, and then they leave, and then they, you know, appear on the scene, or they're
seems like instability.
Burning down. Yeah, it seems but and maybe we like kind of praise the stability,
right, of a sustainer
over growth.
Yeah, true.
I like that. I like that distinction between the two ways of approaching life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think you're right about what you're saying, because the sustainers kind of get more credit. You know, it's almost like, well, that's the better version to be. And then if you really dig in, you're like, but is it though? Like, I don't actually know if that is the best version to be.
Right. They have their challenges and growth areas too.
Yeah, it doesn't make anybody a bad person. It's just our unique wiring. And so I think we have to understand that, because what happens a lot of times is that whatever we're wired to, we still want the opposite, right? So for me, I'm wired for starting. I could, you know, we move to a different country, set up, talk to me in a month, and I'd be like, I'm doing great. And yet I want a marriage and I want a family. And so that is kind of not congruent with starting, right? That's like, you sort of have to sustain that. Like, you got to hang out for a little while. And so I think what happens to us is that we all long for the other side, and we just have to be willing to admit that it's going to take something different to get it.
I love that. Really facing the truth in that, like, do you want to be the same person you are? If you're not changing anything and you're not working on yourself, you're not growing intentionally, you don't. I was having this conversation with someone. I said, and maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I said that human beings are the only like living organism that won't grow to its potential given its opportunity. Like, you think about, like, put a great white in a small cage or small tank, and it's only going to grow to the size that the tank will allow. Put it in the wild and it will grow to its potential. Same with a tree. Put it in a small pot, and it will only grow to that size that the pot restricts it to. You put it in the wild with the correct food and water, it will grow to its potential that it's allowed to. Human beings, though, can be given everything and every opportunity for that growth.
Yep.
And still can stay stunted. It could maintain its size.
Well, we have agency. We have free will.
So yeah. I love that. Like, are you okay with that? In 10
but
years,
it's hard.
You could be the same.
It's a hard decision, especially if you know the cage. You know, there's this video I saw where I think they had some bears and they were abandoned. And so they raised them up to be adult bears. And so they had this video of like, we're releasing the bears. And there's these big cages and everyone's kind of hiding, you know, and they yank open the door and then nothing happens. and they're just like, oh, okay, like, can you poke it with a stick? Or like, what do you do when the bear won't leave the cage? And they're like, hey, you know, like, this is all yours now. And the bear is just like doing its bear thing in the cage because it's lived there.
So good.
Wow.
And so I think if we've just lived there, sometimes people in our life, like even you with your friend, you're like outside the cage and you're like, hey, buddy, just step out. And he's like, oh, but I know the cage. I just know the cage. And so there might be something way better outside, but I'm going to stay where I'm safe.
Wow. So that kind of, it relates back to what you were saying about your own themes of like, I can't do that or I'll get hurt. Can't do that or I'll get hurt. It's like knowing that cage, right? What role does forgiveness play in all of that?
Yeah, you have to blow out the candle on that. That's a hard thing to do because we kind of keep those candles lit because they reinforce what we believe. And so forgiveness eliminates the need to do that. So if I've forgiven those people who have hurt me and I've forgiven myself for hurting people, then I don't have to live in the cage. But a lot of times what we do is we support our living in the cage by continuing to be angry and not forgive ourselves or others. And it just reinforces why we need to do that.
So true. Yeah, it's dark in here. Where's the light? Oh, yeah. Light the candle.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And so that's a process a lot of people have to work through. And some people, you know, it's kind of like the starter sustainer thing. Some people have a really hard time forgiving others and others have a really hard time forgiving themselves. And so it's kind of like, which one do you struggle with and how do we improve that?
Yeah. So what are the steps we take to forgive?
Yeah. My question is usually in my clients, you know, anybody that would listen to this, that's a client is like groaning right now because they get real tired of this. But I would just say, like, how does it help you to hang on to it? So tell me first, how is this helping you to hang on to it? And if you wanted to get to that next place, what would you have to do with this to get there? Would you still want to carry it? And a lot of people will be like, Jason, you're super annoying and it's not helpful and I don't want to carry it. And I guess I would have to have some grace along with the truth.
Wow. And isn't that interesting? Jesus was full of both grace and truth.
That's why we have two hands, grace and truth. That's what exactly. I think that's about. Two hands.
Oh, love that. Man, well, if you are listening and you're like, I need that. I love this little intro we've gotten to it. You need to get the book, Get Past Your Past by Jason Van Ruler. We're going to link it in the show notes. And he outlines really practical ways to work through each of these things, just like the steps for forgiveness that he was just talking about. It's in the book and there are exercises to work through. And even if you don't have like a horrendous past, we all have stuff that we can work through. Like Jason, you were describing, you know, you grew up in a relatively normal home. And then you had a divorce in the home, which is relatively normal. And you had a lot of stuff you had to work through, stuff that came from that. And so don't assume that this doesn't apply to you folks.
You know, something after working with hundreds and hundreds, I should say thousands of clients, something I just know is always true is people downplay what they've been through. Yeah. And everyone feels their own pain 100%.
So that's so good. And it's, you know, that's something if I could go back and I wish I had known earlier would have been that it's not about it being too much or not enough. It's just about being important. And so what I do, and I'm sure you guys see with clients is people either do the too much or not enough, right? Yeah. It's not enough to actually deal with, or it's too much and no one understands. Mm-hmm. And I say it just is. And so because it just is, let's just talk about it. And maybe it isn't a big deal and you talk about it for like 2 days and you're like, oh, that was great. And maybe that's a conversation that lasts years. But I think if we could skip doing that thing we do where we try to like qualify it or judge it and just talk about what it is.
Yes.
So good. Back to that truth part, back to that reality. Yeah, it's so important. It's incredible how whenever we run from truth, truth always kind of catches up to us. So we have to embrace it.
It's so bad. You sprint and it just comes along with. Yes.
It's so true. I forgot. I think it was Jordan Peterson who said, you know, it's a type of insanity when you think that untruth will prevail over the truth because you're thinking that the just imagination will actually become more real than the real. And that's
wouldn't that be
preposterous.
Great?
Yeah.
Hey, if we could pull it off, I'm all in. I just don't think it works that way.
Yeah, it doesn't. We can't live there.
No.
So good. Man, this has been a fabulous conversation.
It has been.
Where can people find your book?
Yeah, it's on all the big sites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and it's available as an audiobook, Kindle, and paperback as well. And if you are listening right now and you're like, I love Jason's voice, how could I listen to that for like hours? Get the audiobook. I read it just for you. You're gonna love it. But just awesome. Know that's out there too.
I love that. Also, where could people find you on the internet?
Yeah, so I'm jasonvr.com is my website, and then I do daily tips on Instagram and other social sites. I'm jason.vanruler, and I do tips about mental health, trauma, relationships, all that good stuff.
Fabulous. Rock we'll on. Link all of that in the show notes so you guys could just go click there. And we're going to close out this episode the way that we close out all of our episodes, and that's by asking you this question. Rewind back to your first couple years of marriage and ask yourself, what advice do I wish I would have received? And then fill in the blank, dear young married couple.
Okay. Dear young married couple, you have to talk about it. You have to talk about it. I think that would have been very helpful.
Yeah.
I love it. Simple and very, very true.
Yep. Accurate.
I mean, that was a wood sign in the house above the kitchen. You have to, I'd be like, oh, I hate that sign. And also would have helped so much.
I would have put that's like, good. Don't be dumb. Talk about it. Like that would have been mine.
We have to talk to you about grace. You got the truth part down. Yeah. You got to work on grace. That's okay. We'll get there.
I love it.
Oh, thank you so much, Jason. This has been fabulous. And we look forward to seeing the impact that this book makes on many, many people.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
Do you want help getting to the next level in your ministry or personal development?
We would love to help coach you. I made this statement before. Everyone needs a counselor. Just think about it. Every person competing at the highest levels has someone in their corner.
Yeah, leadership doesn't have to be lonely, and we would love to help you. Just shoot us a text, 916-678-1797. And you can also find out more information at DearYoungMarriedCouple.com.
P.S. You don't have to be married to get some help. So just reach out, contact us. We'd love to walk alongside you.